In his new book, Sex, Genes and Rock and Roll, evolutionary biologist Rob Brooks from the University of New South Wales stage dives into the theory that rock music can enhance your chances of becoming an evolutionary winner. Welcome, Rob. Nice to have you here.
Good morning. Thanks very much.
First question out of the box, what is an evolutionary biologist?
Well, an evolutionary biologist thinks about the most important things in life. But really, evolution's about having babies, reproducing, and all of us come from a long line of ancestors who were very successful at reproducing. And so that's what we think about.
How does rock and roll tie in with this, with our need to reproduce?
Well, it's kind of interesting because people have been talking about the evolutionary significance of music for hundreds of years, certainly since Darwin. The one thing that hasn't been paid too much attention is Darwin's original suggestion that music and the ability to sing might have even come before language, because a lot of organisms sing to each other. They have some kind of song, like whales do, birds do, in order to seduce one another, in order to court one another. And when you start thinking about music as a courtship signal, you start to understand why all the preposterousness of music, particularly rock and roll with the leather pants and the long hair and just the crazy moves, you start to understand that that might well be just about trying to get noticed by members of the opposite sex.
And it's pretty obvious, really. Ancient organisms singing, the Rolling Stones, ancient organisms singing.
And cracking on to young women.
Absolutely. And you think Mick Jagger, he's had something like 7 kids that we know of to 4 of the most desirable women in 4 different decades. And that's not something, that's no mean achievement from a bloke's point of view. It might be a fantasy from many blokes' point of view that sustained and repeated attractiveness, ability to attract women, and to attract very attractive women. I've just finished reading Keith Richards' biography, in which the lengths to which young girls would go in order to get anywhere near one of the Stones, even Ronnie Wood, let alone Keith Richards, was enormous.
So, propagating the species, sure, but what about the reckless behaviour? What about being found dead in a bathtub at 28?
Well, that's really important. And the important thing is not to think about it as propagating the species, but outcompeting the other individuals. Young men have to outcompete all of the other young men. Young women have to outcompete all of the other young women around them, their contemporaries. And rock and roll is a particularly nasty expression of this, because once the technologies in the 50s came out that allowed us to sort of customize our own soundtrack, that allowed us to choose our own music, young men could listen to a particular music, young women could listen to other types of music. You didn't have to listen to the music that your grandma was listening to, so, you know, no more Eurovision Song Contest, etc. But folks were able to make music tailored to exactly what they wanted to do. They were also able to become megastars. And so if you want to take a chance on being an Elvis or being a Jim Morrison or being a Kurt Cobain, you're going to have to sacrifice a lot. You're going to have to give up everything in order to practice. You're going to have to take risks all the time. And when there are big rewards and lots of losers who never make it, which is true of the music industry, lots of people just never make it to even getting a recording contract, let alone being highly successful, then young men in particular will take enormous chances. And those chances, incidentally, sometimes result in those men dying. So they take risks, they end up carrying guns, they end up getting into conflicts, they end up doing drugs, and some of them end up dying.
What are the statistics for that? Because they're quite frightening, aren't they?
Yes, you've got 5 times the chance of dying within 5 years of becoming famous as a rock star as somebody else of the same age living in the same place.
Wow.
So who's the success story? The one who has lots of children and dies young, or a slow and steady path to old age?
Well, it depends on what you think of as success. I mean, it's a little narrow to think of having lots of children and being an evolutionary successful ancestor as success in the sort of social sense, because, of course, it's very unhappy. Nobody would choose to be Kurt Cobain. Nobody would choose to be Brian Jones. But those people, Jones and Jim Morrison, have young folks who were unborn when they died, wearing T-shirts with their faces on them. They have a certain type of immortality that many of us sort of lust after, but it's a kind of meaningless immortality, really. What really matters, I think, at the end of the day is how you live your life and whether you live a happy life. And I'd much rather be Keith Richards or Mick Jagger than Brian Jones.
Mm. Well, yes, for many reasons. And what about evolutionary biologists? How do they go in the whole scheme of things?
Very, very slow, I have to say. We're like the crickets that sit off there and quiet most of the time.
Just one amoeba after another.
Something like that.
Well, Rob, that's a fascinating book. The book is called Sex, Genes and Rock and Roll. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. Thanks for being interested.